Hey everyone, I hope you're doing amazing. Listen, I'm super thrilled to be talking to a very good friend of mine on the podcast today. She does a myriad of things across the sector, and in this episode, we focus on just one aspect of her work, which involves building and empowering young agricultural leaders across the continent. In my honest opinion, I feel that the type of work that she does is often underrated, and not many people realize or understand the importance of the work that she does. So you'll obviously get to know that in the conversation, but it's quite vital to growing a sustainable agri-network that will not only grow the sector, but support many businesses and individuals for generations to come. So what you can expect to take from this episode is how we can work towards fostering stronger relationships across the international agri community, and also how we can create opportunities for youth in agri across the African continent. More so, the importance of collaboration amongst institutions, private companies, NGOs, etc. So a slight disclaimer here is to say that this episode is not intended to market or promote the African Leadership Academy, but to simply showcase the work that Nonu as an individual does in the sector and her involvement with the ALA. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. I'm looking forward to the feedback, and yeah, let's take a listen.
Welcome to the Mbali Nwoko podcast, where we explore the cutting edge of sustainable agriculture and the latest innovations in the industry. Join us as we have conversations with industry experts from farmers, researchers, leaders, and policymakers about the challenges and opportunities facing the agriculture sector. Whether you're a seasoned farmer, a curious consumer, or just looking to learn more about where your food comes from, this is the podcast for you. Let's dive in and discover the future of farming together.
No, thank you for coming on to the Mbali Nwoko podcast. This is going to be slightly a different interview to the many that I've done before, because I know you personally. Some guests, yes, I do know them personally, but I think with you, it's there's just so much I believe that you've done within the agri industry, and it's like, what do we talk about, you know? But I think for the purpose of this specific conversation, I want to highlight and discuss the work that you do within the two organizations that you work for. But by means of introduction, I just want you to introduce yourself, tell the audience who you are, a brief background of the work that you've done in the industry, and then we'll get into the African Leadership Academy. So welcome.
Great. Thanks, Mbali. Appreciate this interview. It's always great to share about the work that I do. So as you mentioned, my name is Nono Sekgoto. I'm a commercial farmer in South Africa, based in the Free State. I'm focusing on cattle. I've also done quite a bit of work in the industry around developing young people and empowering them to understand how to take advantage and opportunities in the agricultural sector. So my work really focuses around that in various ways. Over the last couple of years, I also worked with AFASA, which is African Farmers Association of South Africa. And that's really where I developed this, I guess, the work that I'm doing around supporting young people in agriculture. Done some work with World Farmers Organization. And then, of course, the invitation to join African Leadership Academy, which came in 2020, is then what we're going to talk about today. So, yeah, that's me.
Great. So I don't think a lot of people know about African Leadership Academy, you know, and I think that your decision to join the ALA was a smart move, because I think, yeah, like you said, you've always been passionate about young people. So I know briefly that the ALA, African Leadership Academy, is about just developing African leaders, you know, but why the ALA specifically on agriculture? You know, does the ALA want to develop leaders within various sectors, or just across the African continent? And maybe explain, what is it that you do within the African Leadership Academy?
Absolutely. So I was absolutely delighted when I joined African Leadership Academy. And the reason was, I mean, they reach out to young, talented young people from across the continent, currently working within 46 countries, which is amazing. So they bring these young people to the academy, which is in South Africa, and really support them in building them to be future leaders. And the main three core subjects they focus on is around ethical leadership, African studies, and entrepreneurship. And so what is exciting about the work they do is once they've graduated from ALA, which is a high school equivalent diploma, they then support them to get opportunities to study across the world. And this is, I mean, we've got partner universities from in the US, in Europe, on the African continent, as well as Asia. And so these young people then go and study out there. And the work we do is still holding on to supporting them while they're there. And so there's university staff team that looks after these young people, making sure they are, you know, not isolated, they're connected to the community at large. And then we also support them to understand how to transition from university into their careers. And that's where my team comes in. And so what we did as at ALA is a few years ago, we realized that when you're supporting young people to be leaders, they really need to be in spaces that will allow them to take advantage of opportunities that they see. And they also need to know what those opportunities are. So we then structured our what we call our sector communities, which are structured as around different industries. And there are six communities that we have selected, and that is agriculture, which is the one I lead. There's education, health, infrastructure, the arts, and the governance networks. And so these various networks allow us to support our young leaders to transition into careers within their chosen sectors. And as I said, so the work I do in general is really supporting these young people to build their careers in the agricultural sector across the continent. And so I do this by connecting with various partners in their countries, understanding how they bring young talent in their business, give them ideas of how to do it through internships. We partner with them to also give all sorts of exposure around making sure that our young leaders are exposed to the sector and have access to opportunities such as internships and jobs. And so in a nutshell, the other thing that's very important is to make sure that our network members, who are these young leaders, are connected to each other. So we do a lot of work that facilitate a way for our young leaders to connect with each other across the different ages, across different countries, within the agricultural sector. And of course, we're working through the whole value chain. So yeah, that's what I do.
Sounds like a lot. And I mean, the African continent is quite vast. And, a lot of people get excited when you put Africa and agriculture into one sentence. And then I think bringing youth into that brings more interest. You mentioned you all about developing young African leaders as within your portfolio, specifically in agriculture, at the ALA. Take us through how that really looks like. So I'm a young person studying at the ALA, but have aspirations to be in the agriculture industry. I might have grown up on a farm. I might have an interest in food safety, for example, and sustainability, or how I, how do we solve the problem of poverty across the continent? Mm. So if these are my aspirations as a young person, and I'm studying and I'm studying at the ALA, how do I come to you as Nonu and say, please assist me? What type of career advice would you typically guide an individual with aspirations to become such in the industry?
So yeah, good question. I mean, so just to give you a brief, our network members who are our young leaders span from the students at ALA, and that's high school level, so towards the end of high school. Then we've got those who are students in universities studying agriculture, so they already have kind of chosen what they're interested in. And then we've also got those that are working, that are much older and already in the sector. And so we obviously have different ways of approaching all of them depending on where they are. Mm. So looking at those who are students at ALA, it's really around fostering an understanding of the industry. So what I do, we do workshops here that actually target even those that don't even know agriculture or not interested, to really give them a way to see agriculture as a way to kind of explore and see how they can also find opportunities. And that's a really exciting project for myself. So we, as I said, there's various activities that happen that allow me to position agriculture as a way of, as an opportunity that they can explore to study or for future interests. We also have a what we call social enterprises, student enterprises here on campus. And what's interesting around that, as I mentioned, entrepreneurship is a big course, a curriculum here. So we have a businesses that live on the campus, providing all sorts of services. And in, amongst those businesses, we have what we call a student enterprise called Agrinovation. And what they essentially do is they find ways to plant in the garden. We've got a partner who is a farm near Nyrox. So Farm 58 hosts our students, and they get taught how to farm sustainably, to understand how to, you know, they understand production, they understand how to market. And then they after they've grown those vegetables, they bring them here and sell them on campus with the aim of also exposing everybody else around what they're doing in the sector. So it's really around fostering that love and understanding at this level at ALA. Then those that go to university, we have coaching sessions with them to try get them to understand. So now that you've studied XYZ, what would you like to do and where? Some of them want to try and travel in different countries across the continent. So I would then try figure out, okay, let's see if we can find you opportunities either back home in your country or country of choice, right? Mm-hmm. You'll find that those who are from, let's say, East Africa, they can literally work anywhere in East Africa. So it's really easy for us to find opportunities for them that side. Those in West Africa is also very similar. And you'll find that in our network, the majority of our, I mean, we don't have that many South Africans in my network with agriculture, because for some reason, yeah, high potential performing young people in South Africa, agriculture is not marketed to them, especially Black. And so that's kind of something that I've been experiencing, that the majority of my network members are everywhere else on the continent except for South Africa. So that then means I then get to understand what career path they want to go, and we kind of go through a journey with them. But as I mentioned, the coaching is also around making sure that we're empowering them to understand the value they have, the fact that they've studied, which means there's an opportunity for them to also create their own businesses and provide their own. There's a lot of smallholder farmers in where most of them come from. And so it's about understanding how else can you use your skills as a young person already when you get back home. And so for me, I think the thing that's really important is to make sure that we're empowering them personally so that they feel confident and knowing that they have a place as a, in the network to be able to access opportunities and ideas and kind of like those who are thinking of ideas and plans have a place to come and actually share those ideas. We hold what we called members hangouts on a monthly basis. And you'll find that those that are starting businesses, those are starting projects, will come together and come and share around the work they're doing so that others can also help them. Of course, others are well established. They've had their businesses, so they're also part of the network. They can come and give advice, et cetera. And so for us, as I said, that way of connecting these young people to each other is really critical, because in the next like 10, 20 years, we want to see these leaders in their industries knowing each other across the continent so that we have a proper Pan-African network. And so as I hear, it just depends at where the young person is. We try to meet them where they are to kind of get them opportunity that they would like to see. So we don't come up with things that will suit them. It's more the other way around. We try to understand what they need so we can see how to connect them to those opportunities.
Yeah, so it's more like propelling their career prospects and opportunities where they want to be involved in. You know, you said quite a mouthful, Nono, and a couple of things started to come through my mind. And I hope I can just, gather all these questions and ask them, individually. So the first one, you mentioned something about, in South Africa, we don't market agriculture to young people as our other brothers and sisters across the African continent do. So why do you think that is? And what about those other countries? What is it that they're doing right that we're not doing right?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, if I think of those who have opportunities here in South Africa to excel in careers, to excel in, even if they get scholarship, etc., you find that the industry that are marketed on are mainly like banks and, advertising and things that look glamorous. And you find that a lot of these young people are those that are in urban areas who get access to the opportunities. So obviously agriculture is very far off for those that are in urban areas, even like townships as well. You could say that's peri-urban. So that's really who gets these opportunities. And of course, what they are seeing is more city life, urban type of opportunities. As opposed to on the continent, the majority of these young people that we find actually come from rural areas, because the majority of the, the countries are still pretty rural. So you'll find that they already are doing something back home. They already either have a project or they understand the challenges that are happening in their communities. And so when they apply to ALA, like one of the things that you have to be able to exhibit is a potential for leadership, right? And so if you're coming to ALA to speak about who you are, you'll hear that a lot of these young people, I mean, these are high school levels, are already active in their communities in one way or another. And a lot of them, as I said, it allows them to then kind of position themselves as young people who are looking for opportunities in the agriculture sector, because that's where they come from, in the rural area. So for us, we see that it's almost like it's just part of who they are, a lot of them. So it's kind of closer to them than those that you find in South Africa. And agriculture in South Africa is also, you don't see... It's not marketed as an industry that empowers and enriches Black people. So even though it's very hard, but the people that who are making money and are successful in the business in the sector are not Black. So it's very few to see those faces. But on the continent, if you see all the big organizations that are coming up, that are doing things, a lot of them are supported by NGOs, but they are businesses that are run by Black people. And the majority of the farmers that they're supporting and working with are Black farmers, even though they are small farmers. But it's like they can relate in being farmers, because the people that they see farming are the same as them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Let's take your story into perspective. So with the work that you're doing, right, and you mentioned that, sometimes we expose students in terms of, how you start production, how do you grow your own food, how do you sell, how do you market it, how do you create a brand for your farm, et cetera, and how essentially you grow a fully thriving business from primary production, So typically when I think of those that have never been exposed in the agri industry, we have a tendency to always direct people to primary production. Whether it's planting that seed and growing that crop or growing that maize or raising those chickens or feeding that cow, always centers around primary production. We hardly put the focus on, if it's agriculture, you could be an economist, you can be an analyst, you can be someone who's successful in technology, but come up with ideas and solutions for agriculture in the tech, bringing the tech solution. Why do you think we always tend to gravitate towards if we want to attract young people, it must always start in primary production. Do you think that's important, maybe for them to understand the intricacies that farmers face? Or do you think to also attract other young people, and I think specifically in the agri sector, in the South African economy, maybe primary production might not look appealing, but let's put more people in policymaking, in the work that you're doing, you know, creating network groups across the African continent, so that when you do grow thriving businesses, you're not working in a silo, you're working in a support base of other networks that can propel your business to the next level. And the reason why I want to bring your story into this is because you didn't grow up and finish high school and say, I want to study agriculture. You went into the agri space far later, a couple of years within your professional career. But your decision to go into the agri space was to join your family farm with your father. And then from there, you know, you built this whole portfolio as a farmer and you started understanding the gaps. But immediately you saw the gaps to say, no, man, you know, there needs to be more youth in this areas, in this areas, in this areas. And then look at you today. You're still in agriculture. Yes, you still have your farming operations, but your work is very much centered around creating agri networks and so forth. So how do we attract youth to say, let's go into the agri space? Okay. But primary production is not the be all and end all, you know. Yes, it can be a starting point, but you really don't have to stop there. Your starting point would be working with NGOs, working with support groups, and maybe if your passion is policymaking, lobbying, creating agri networks and groups, you know, rather look at opportunities in those spaces. So how do we broaden career prospects for young people who possibly just think agri is in primary production? And how do we also change this mindset of stakeholders who want to invest in young people and, you know, we try to steer them away to say, okay, if you want to invest in young people in agri, yeah, there's more to life than just primary production.
Mbali, that's a very, very important topic, especially in the work that I do. And as you said, I think I'm a living proof of that, that opportunity to show people the various ways of participating in the sector, building careers and also charting new paths that didn't probably exist before. I mean, as I said, this ALA opportunity, I'm the first person to really establish this. You know, I have run this network for the past 3 years and it did not exist before me. So,
wow.
And I think it's really around, thanks. Yeah, we celebrated 3 years this year, so very excited. But I think what's important around that, which is what I also try to like exhibit in the network, is that we need to realize and appreciate that the individuals that we are, we have value. So that's why I keep telling young people, it doesn't matter what age you start in agriculture, you've got to first make sure that you are empowered and you know what you are good at. So that you can then see when you are starting to learn and understand the agricultural sector, you will then be able to identify the gaps. You can't do it the other way around. So sometimes I think I came into the sector already knowing I'm strong at finance, I'm strong at interpersonal relationships, and I'm still using those skills along the way. And so that's I'm really advocating for that. But how we do that is also to say, so what we do is we actually put together this program when our young leaders are to give them an opportunity to see how they can actually participate in the sector. So what we do is we have what we call the co-creation fund. And this co-creation fund invites our young leaders to, one, connect with each other. So firstly, when they're connecting with each other, they'll be able to know what strength am I bringing to this team. And what they would do together is identify a community from one of them and then go look at the community and see what issues are they experiencing. And they can come up with a solution that allows them to put a 6-month project to solve that specific challenge. And what that does, it's not necessarily that it's going to impact, you know, their whole community, but that little impact that they do allows to, one, increase the connections between these two young people who are working together, trusting each other, building relationships, and also building capacities and working and leveraging off each other. That's collaboration is a very big thing. So to me, that's the first thing we instill in these young people. The second one is the ability for them to identify opportunity. And that's what you have to do if you want to build a career, if you want to build a business, you've got to be able to do that. And then the third thing is to be able to implement. You know, we give them some few funds to be able to do that work. But the important thing that comes out of that is that these young people will come out confident knowing that they can do whatever they think they can. So for me, it's about building the individual first. So when we then go and introduce them to the sector, they will feel confident about the opportunities that they can provide. Because you're right, they could be good at marketing, they could be good at data analysts, they could be good at finance. And so we try to make them understand that they can, their skills can also live in the sector. The other thing that's been really exciting for me to do is our internship programs allows us to actually connect and bring network members from the other sectors. Remember, I told you there's education, governance, infrastructure, and the arts, all those other ones. I can actually invite other young people from there to come work in our agribusinesses partners. And when they do that, they're bringing their skills that are outside the agricultural sector. But then when they work in the sector, and in the businesses, they then realize, oh my God, I didn't know I could work in an agribusiness. And that's those aha moments that we need to provide our young people, is that you don't need to go and study everything about agriculture. I still don't know how to plant food, really, in all honesty. I've never done it. That's not my skill. But I have built my skills in business, in finance, in stakeholder management, and working in the sector. So for me, I think it's around meeting our young people where they are, empowering them and giving them confidence so that they can see the opportunities that they can actually be able to get into. That makes sense.
So what are the milestones that you've been able to achieve over the past 3 years in building the agribusiness network within ALA? If you can just share some, good stories.
Sure, yeah. Absolutely. So I'll touch on three things. So the first one was also to acquire a major funder for our program. Running a network is kind of like nothing is predictable. So it's not like running a program where you have very specific measurables and specific outcomes. With a network, your funder has to understand that there's an opportunity for emergence of things that you won't know what will come out. And so Small Foundation is based in Ireland. They are our funder, and that's what they do. They support networks across the continent who focus on agriculture as well as rural development to be able to empower people in a way that they will work together to be able to solve challenges in their spaces. And so for me and our team, the first thing we did was obviously bagging that. It was a 3-year contract with them to fund and provide other types of non-financial support for our networks. The second part of it was being able to ensure that we're able to measure the work that we're doing. So the work that I do is supported by Converge, which is an organization based in the US that gives networks tools and practices to be able to run effective networks. And for us to be able to do that, I've been on training to be able to make sure that I'm able to capture the information, capture things that are happening in the network so that we can present our the work, all the amazing work that we've been able to achieve, which is, as I said, connecting young people to each other, connecting them to opportunities, connecting with partners and opening up various opportunities across the continent. And so that, to me, the training and in allowing us as a team to be able to be effective in the way that we run our network has been a major success for us. And that has obviously why we have the results we have today. And then the third one, on a personal note, also allowed me to work with Converge. So I am a contractor at Converge, and they have seen that the work that I've been doing in my network has really been quite instrumental in such a short space of time. And so I am a partner with them. And what we do is we support other network coordinators, which is kind of what my job is called, that are across the continent, supported by Small Foundation. So what we do as network coordinators is around learning and sharing our journeys of building networks. And what's even more exciting is that these other network coordinators, they work across the value chain in the agriculture sector, and they're able to actually open up opportunities with organizations that are in their network. So they have agricultural organizations, which is a great way for my network to collaborate with them. So what you were talking about earlier, Mbali, about building networks and connections, it allows us as people to really find ways to support our network members, to have opportunities to collaborate with these networks that are living all over the continent, which is exactly where we're working. So it's already been an exciting time for us to be able to, yeah, to kind of work through this.
Yeah, it brings me so much comfort knowing that, you know, the international community is actually working together and everybody's starting to see the importance of collaboration, of leveraging off each other's skills, contacts, connections, talents, etc. And then how can one be a part of the ALA? So I could be a young person, I could be a young South African student listening to this podcast now or episode. And I just heard you say, you know, not much is advertised to me as a young person in Agri. And, you know, what everything that you've just said over the past 30 minutes might have spiked an interest to want to become involved, because the way you've put agriculture to me is very different to where I've viewed Agri, you know. So
yeah,
first question is, how can young South Africans be a part of ALA, or, you know, want to study and be a part of this network within ALA? And then number two, how can organizations and other network companies work with you within the ALA agribusiness network, maybe to strengthen and foster more strong relationships in the work that you do?
Sure. So two ways. So if you want to be part of the ALA, every year there is applications that are going through. So as any young person, I think you should have to be around 16 to be able to start applying. So you can go to their website, which is africanleadershipacademy.org, and you will be able to find a way to apply. And then the second one is to be part of our network as a young person. There's, I guess, three ways I can think of. So the first one would be if you go to the African Leadership Academy website, you look for networks. And if you look for networks, that will take you to the AL for Agribusiness Network. And so you can reach out to us, send us a message, and we can connect you to our platform, which is called Mighty Networks. So all our young people are on Mighty Networks, which is a platform. It's kind of like a mini Facebook that we have. So everyone can come on there, put in their profile and meet other young people, and you can get access to all the opportunities that we share. So we share about job opportunities, funding or training opportunities, and then you can also come and attend some of the online events that we host. Another way is you can find us on LinkedIn. You look for AL for Agribusiness Network. So if you can also find us on there, you can reach out to us and we will respond and invite you to our various platforms. So to me, that's the easiest way to be part of our network as a young person. And as well as you can also be able to get access to our newsletter, we will be able to share that with you so that you can hear what's happening on a monthly basis. And to our partners and potential organizations who are willing and wanting to support young people in the sector, who are looking to access opportunities to work with young people in their businesses, who are willing to also looking to explore how to support young people in the sector, you can also join us through the various links that I've mentioned.
Yeah, no, I know you don't need me to tell you this, but you're doing great and phenomenal work. And I'm just so proud of you in with what you're doing. I know you're always tired, you're always working, you know, traveling, etc. But yeah, as you're speaking today, it's kind of come full circle that, yeah, it's coming together and you're doing it. it's just a space that is always often overlooked because everybody wants to be in the agri sector. Everybody wants to grow agri businesses. Everyone wants to collaborate, etc. But, you know, the biggest point or the biggest loop or gap was how. And as you've been talking, I see that you're just creating the platform to say, this is the stage in how you connect with others. And that is a gap that not many people play in. So yeah, kudos to you.
Yeah, thanks, Mbali. I am lucky for me. I am really enjoying my work. And of course, as you know, this has been many years and, you know, in the making. And yes, and collaboration is really how we're going to keep supporting each other and growing this industry. And I look forward to seeing what else we'll do. And especially because since last year, I've been traveling the continent. So it's been great because I started at COVID time. So now it's great that I'm meeting these young people across the continent in person and also meeting these business partners and potential organizations that we want to bring into the fold. So it's been an exciting but absolutely busy time. So thanks for inviting me. This was a good chat.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Your feedback is always important. Therefore, please rate and review this podcast. You can follow me on social media at Mbali Nwoko on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, as well as YouTube. Should you wish to contact me directly, kindly send me an email at info@mbalinwoko.com. Look out for next week's episode. Until then, take care.